Welcome to the January 13th sermon from Clifford Baptist Church, 635 Fletcher's Level Road in Amherst. Today's scripture is 2 Samuel chapter 11, verses 1 through 5, and the sermon is entitled, A Battle with Temptation, delivered today by Pastor Jeffrey Campbell.
As we gather together on the very Word of God today, I want you to grab your Bibles and take them and turn them to 2 Samuel chapter 11. We will look at the first five verses of that chapter. As you are turning there, I've got to ask you the question that I always ask you, and that is this: did you come expecting something? Amen. I hope we did. I know that sometimes our expectations may not seem that they are met, like the snow last night. Some of us expected 6 or 8 or 10 inches when we woke up, right? And I was pleasantly surprised this morning with just a couple, and so we are so thankful that sometimes our expectations are not met when it comes to snow, but God always meets our expectations, I believe, in according to His will, and so I'm thankful for that. There are so many that face battles day by day, and we can name those battles, and we can look at those battles, and as we witness for the Lord, sometimes those battles encroach on that witness or hurt that witness. And one of those battles that we're going to look at today is the battle with temptation. Okay, the battle with temptation. That is the title of our message today. And as we fight that battle as Christians, we need to know what to look out for. And so today you're going to get 4 points of things to look out for as the battle, as temptation comes our way as Christian people. When I think about that battle, we will see what it offers us. I want you to know today that temptation is a false lie. It is a false hope. It can never offer you what God can. Temptation never offers what God can, but temptation seeks to destroy what God has for your life through sin. James 1, chapter 12 says this. James chapter 1, verse 12 says this. It says, blessed is the man that endureth temptation, for when he is tried, he shall receive the crown of life, which the Lord has promised to them that love him. Let no man say when he is tempted, I am tempted of God, for God cannot be tempted with evil, neither tempteth he any man. So before we ever get started in our message today, I want you to see that temptation does not come from God. It does not. Now, God does allow it. You can look at the life of Job as a prime example, as God allowing him to be tempted because he knew that Job could withstand that temptation. And as we look at that and we're told those stories and we read those stories, we're no different than Job and we're no different than Jesus himself who was tempted. Temptation is going to come our way. Now, listen to this. Temptation becomes sin when we yield to it. Temptation is not sin, but temptation becomes sin when we yield to it. 2 Peter 2:9 says, the Lord knows how to deliver the godly out of temptation. So there is always a way out. There always is a way out of temptation. We've got to look to God for that way and to get out of those situations that seem to tempt us. So today, as we break open God's Word to a very, very familiar story, many of you probably don't even have to turn your Bibles there, but we're going to go to 2 Samuel chapter 11, verses 1 through 5. God's Word reads like this. And it came to pass, after the year was expired, at the time when kings go forth to battle, that David sent Joab, his servants, with him, and all Israel. And they destroyed the children of Ammon and besieged Rabbah. But David tarried still at Jerusalem. And it came to pass in an evening tide that David arose from off his bed and walked upon the roof of the king's house. And from the roof he saw a woman washing herself. And the woman was very beautiful to look upon. And David sent and inquired after the woman. And one said, is this not Bathsheba, the daughter of Eliam, the wife of Uriah the Hittite? And David sent messengers and took her, and she came unto him, and he lay with her, for she was purified from her uncleanness, and she returned unto her house. And the woman conceived and sent and told David and said, I am with child. We pray God's blessing on these words today. Now, as you know, there's much more to the story. We're just going to look at the very beginning of it. We're not even going to get into the latter parts of it. We're just going to look at the very beginning portion of God's Word in the battle of temptation. These five familiar verses in David's encounter with Bathsheba are going to teach us a lot. But as we understand Bathsheba, we see that she's a beautiful woman. But I want to tell you this, in starting out, that David, according to the Bible, he has eight recorded wives, eight wives that are recorded, all right? One's far more than I ever need. I want you to know that, right? But eight wives he has, plus those many more that probably aren't even documented. And so we see a man that is married, and I want you to underline that and star that this is a married man. And as we look back at verse number one, we see it came to pass after the year was expired, the time when kings go forth to battle, that David sent Joab and his servants with him and all Israel, and they destroyed the children of Ammon and besieged Rabbah, and David tarried still at Jerusalem. It is the season of battle. And the season of battle brings for a king the opportunity to be on the forefront of leading his army. In other words, David should not be at home, okay? David should be on the battlefield, fighting with his men, fighting with his army, and actually leading him. That's where God placed him, that's where God wanted him, and that's where he needed to be. But verse number one tells us in that season of battle, David decides, I'm going to take this one off. I'm going to take this battle off. As that military campaign, as the new season, the spring season kicked up, David finds himself sitting at home. Now, I'm going to give you just a little bit of background. In the end of chapter 10, we see that a very, very victorious David, at the end of the previous season, leads a battle against the Ammonites and the Syrians. And David flat out destroys them, according to God's word. And so he has some familiarity with the Ammonites. And maybe he's taking this battle off because he knows it's a piece of cake. He's going to win this battle. I don't know why David's taking off and why he's not on the battlefield. But guess what? David is getting ready to enter a battle that he'd had no part of, that he didn't know anything about. And that is the battle of temptation. As he sends Joab, his right-hand man, and he sends his powerful army to war, to fight, and to destroy a group of people, David didn't go. Point number one of four today is this. The battle with temptation always offers us other opportunities. It always offers you another opportunity. And so today I want you to know, as you think of that, as that temptation offers you that opportunity, there could be the opportunity to fall. David didn't go to battle with his men, but what he was fixing to do was go to battle with his heart and his mind, and something that he could not fight and win. There are opportunities that sound better, that appear better. Sometimes we think there's somebody better out there for us, even though we're married. Sometimes we think we're stressed, or sometimes we have a lot on our plate, or even for our teenagers today, we always hear everybody's doing it, so I might as well do it too. The battle with temptation offers every one of us a different opportunity. It's not always the best, it's not always the right, but sometimes we believe it is. David, as God's chosen man, should have been on the battlefield. Today, as we talk about temptation, maybe it's somebody in this sanctuary, maybe somebody listening live today, maybe you find yourself in the battle and you're not where you're supposed to be. You're taking advantage of that other opportunity. It's not the right way. It's not the right spot. So that first point is this. Temptation offers us other opportunities. Look with me at verse number 2. It says, and it came to pass in the evening tide that David arose from off his bed, walked upon the roof of the king's house, and from the roof he saw a woman washing herself, and the woman was very beautiful to look upon. Now, as I think about this, we find in verse number 2, a very restless David. He can't sleep. And I sit here and I can relate as a third shift worker. Sometimes there are days that I can't sleep, but I sit there and begin to wonder why David can't sleep. Probably because he's not where he should be, okay? The Lord doesn't always allow us to sleep and slumber when we're out of his will, right? And so he's not where he's supposed to be. He should have been on the battlefield. I don't know. David can't sleep. And so in his restlessness, he's searching for some kind of peace. And he takes that stride and he goes out onto the roof of his house. And as he goes out there, he is greeted by a beautiful woman. Now his house sat above, the roof of his house sat so that he could look out and he could see the courtyards of various houses. And as he takes in that view, he sees this beautiful woman. Now I want to stop right here and say this. There is something different in a beautiful woman and beautiful to be looked upon, okay? If they would have said, man, she's beautiful, and would have went back inside, that was a different story. But David, where it's recorded here that she is beautiful to look upon. So as Bathsheba is taking a bath, David takes in the sight and he stares and he watches. And I know this may be a little bit uncomfortable sitting here today, but it's not a pretty picture because David is entering the battlefield. He should have turned away. If he would have stopped and turned and went back inside, no sin would have been committed. But as he stops and he stares and he takes in the view, guess what? The sin goes from the eyes and it begins to creep into the mind, and he will formulate a plan. And as it creeps into the mind and as that plan takes place, the sin will invade his heart. And so I'm going to be the first one to say, and I don't know how many will agree with me, and that is this. Sin occurred on the rooftop far before it occurred in the bedroom. Matthew chapter 5, verses 27 and 28 say this. You have heard it that it was said by them of old time, thou shalt not commit adultery. But I say unto you that whosoever looketh on a woman to lust after her hath committed adultery with her already in his heart. That describes David to a T. But today I wonder how many of us it describes. We see a 50-year-old man. David's not a spring chicken here, guys. He's a 50-year-old man. Halfway through his time as king. And here he is, fallen into the youthful lust. As 2 Timothy 2:22 speaks of, it says, flee those youthful lusts. Get away from them. A 50-year-old man falling for what he sees. Point number 2. I want you to know that the battle with temptation seems to offer us something better. David had 8 wives. He didn't need another woman. That's the last thing he needed. But it seemed to be something better. And as he contemplates that and he begins to plan it, he's going to take advantage and full advantage of Bathsheba. Be wary of the battle of temptation when it seems like something better is out there for you. Verse number 3. And David sent and inquired after the woman, and one said, is this not Bathsheba, the daughter of Eliam, the wife of Uriah the Hittite? David begins to yield. Remember, the temptation is not sin. Him beginning to yield becomes sin. He begins to stare at her, and now he begins to question. He begins to ask questions about this beautiful lady that he has seen. And as he stares at her and he begins to make a plan, he begins to ask the questions. And he finds out a couple of things. He finds out, number 1, she is a daughter. He finds out, number 2, that she is a wife. So she is married. She is the daughter of Eliam, one of his advisors, one of his top men. And he's the wife of Uriah, one of the servants, one of his main men in the battle that is taking place where he isn't. All the while, David is pursuing the plan that he has orchestrated in his mind. Guys, these questions should be roadblocks. Roadblocks in the way that stop David. You find out someone's married. You're married. Guys, I don't have to sit there and explain it to you. But maybe I do. It's off limits. It's off limits for David. You see, there's a new show coming on TV, and Betty and I were talking about it just before. It's called Temptation Island. And the idea of this show on TV that will be broadcast for millions to see is they're going to put four couples on this island. And they are going to encourage things to happen. Well, listen. Today, I can sit here and tell you there's no need to even go to that island. That's the roadblock. You know what's going to happen. Don't even go to the island. But I'm encouraging you today, don't watch the show either. Because you're giving in and you're supporting that as well. Temptation Island. We all have islands that we will face temptation. The best thing is not to even go there. But as David asks those questions, he's going there. He's trying to find out how to get to that island, how to get to where he wants to be, how to take and bring Bathsheba to him. As David finds out that she's married, that her daddy and her granddaddy and her husband are all very important and close men to him, this is his way out. This is the big stop sign that's flashing. Don't go here. Point number three. The battle of temptation offers us a way out. Now you say, Pastor Jeffrey, not always. I beg to differ. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 13 says this. Listen to this. It says, there hath no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man. Listen to this. God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that you are able, but will with the temptation also make a way to escape that you may be able to bear it. Through God, there is always a way out of that temptation. If at this moment David remembered his God, do you think God was on David's mind? Absolutely not. But friends, I want you to know that there's the idea that when we are tempted, God provides the way out of those temptations. I preach that to my teenagers, and I believe it with all my heart. How many of us today, and I don't want you to raise your hand because your kids are sitting beside you, but how many of us today have been tempted to skip school before? One of the high school things, we've been tempted to skip school, right? We scratch our head and we don't want to raise our hand because many of us have done that, right? That's one of the greatest temptations when you're not where you're supposed to be. And as you skip school, you're doing things that your mama and daddy don't know about. And as you skip school, you're not in the place that you're thought to be. And guess what? Is there a way out of that? Yes. Stay at school. My mama's sitting here today. I want to tell her, I stayed at school. Now, I have a twin brother that might have missed. Temptation offers us a way out. It's not the most common. It's not the most popular way. It's not the easiest way. But the way comes by God Almighty. Christians today, I'm sitting here telling people that I love, there's a way out if you seek that way. Verses 4 and 5, as we wrap up our sermon today, read like this. And David sent messengers and took her, and she came unto him, and he lay with her, for she was purified from her uncleanness. And she returned into her house. And the woman conceived and sent and told David and said, I am with child. The battle of temptation turns into full-blown sin for Bathsheba and David. Now, I'm not here to say Bathsheba did not have a role. Okay, I want you to hear that I believe Bathsheba is just as guilty. Okay? But David, being the godly man and the godly king, knew better. But I want you to say this, as his plan springs into action and things start to play out, adultery is committed, as you read in verse number 4. But verse number 4 is there to also tell us there's no way that she can already be pregnant. Okay? There's no way. Adultery takes place, and there is absolutely no way that she can be pregnant. But at the end of verse number 4, I want you to see something, okay? Look at the end of verse number 4, it says this, "And she returned unto her house." So as that sin is committed, she goes home. Everything's okay, right? Nobody knows. Everything's okay. Everybody's okay. They got away with it. Not so fast. Verse number 5. This tells us that the woman conceived and sent and told David and said, "I am with child." Now I want to be the first one to say, this child is not a punishment. This child is not a punishment. But as those words come out of Bathsheba's mouth to David, "I am with child," here's what's going through David's mind. Everybody's going to know. But here's also what's going through David's mind too, is now that him and Bathsheba both face death. That was the punishment. That was the punishment of the day. Both of them face death. Today, as I read this part of the story, I want you to know that my heart hurts. But our world would celebrate something like this. Our world would turn this into a blockbuster movie, and many would sit and watch it. It would be celebrated. But I hurt because a man of God has fallen to temptation. The message today, I hope I don't step on your toes, is for the inside of the church just as well as the outside of the church. Point number 4. The battle with temptation always offers us repercussions for our sin. Some very, very, very innocent people were getting ready to die, and they didn't even know it, because they had to lie again and had to come up with another plan. Uriah would die. And not only would Uriah die, this little baby whom Bathsheba carries would die. Today, as I think about this, I want to stand here as your youth pastor and tell you, I faced the battle just as real as David did. You face the battle with temptation just as real as David did. And whatever that battle looks like, it might be a little different. For some of you, that battle looks like food. I'm not going to sit there and lie. Gluttony is a sin. The temptation of food and not being able to walk away is a sin, is a temptation. The battle with drinking or drugs, that's a sin. The battle with lying, not being obedient to your parents, those things are temptations. And so today, however that battle or whatever that battle looks like to you, my prayer is this, is that you understand as you enter that battle, you've got somebody on your side. There's a way out of that battle to follow the Lord. Today, I pray, I'm not sitting here shaking my finger at David, you poor old guy. I'm sitting here looking at a mirror and saying, Lord, help me. Help me when that battle comes my way to know what to look for. To know what to look out for and to watch out for. And so as that temptation offers us other opportunities, it offers us something better, it has repercussions. Today, church, I want you to know that you can't fight this battle alone. And so in a very real invitation today, just because you come to the altar or maybe you're watching by Facebook today and you kneel before the Lord, it doesn't mean you're not saying, I'm just like David. That's not what you're saying. But here's the invitation I want to offer you today. Today, either where you are, or maybe you want to come to the altar, you will say, Lord, I need your help. Maybe today you're in a battle right now. Lord, I need your help. I know the battle will come. I need your help. I need that way out. Today, that's one form of invitation. The other form of invitation is this. Maybe you sit here and say, Jeffrey, I lost the battle. I've lost the battle just like David did. Psalm 51, David cries out to God, have mercy on me, O God. Yes, there were repercussions, but forgiveness was finally had when David came to the Lord. And so today, maybe you want to come to God and say, Lord, forgive me. Have mercy on me for what I've done. God offers us that opportunity as well. The last one, maybe you're here without Jesus. And I want you to understand and know that Jesus went to a cross to die for every and any sin that we can ever commit. But he also died so that we could have a relationship with him. And a relationship with Jesus means somebody to walk through these battles with us. And so today, if you don't have Jesus in your life, you're fighting battles all alone that you don't have to. The love of Jesus can pour over you if you will simply open your heart and your life to him and say, Lord, I believe you died for me. I want you to live in my heart and walk with me day by day. Today, however you need Jesus, we offer you this invitation to come today. Let's pray. Father God, Lord, today, as we talk on a very real subject, Lord, I pray, Lord, that you will move in our lives. Lord, I want to be the first one to the altar. I want to be the first one to kneel down and pray. I want to be the first one to seek your help as those temptations come. Lord, help me be that godly example. As I think of David and how his family would suffer, his children, his own boys would suffer for the sin that he committed. Lord, I want to be the shining example to two boys that look in my way, that are looking at their daddy. Lord, help me to say no to temptation, to seek your help in that battle. God, I pray, Lord, today, whatever this moment of invitation brings, that you will meet each and every one where they are. We love you and trust you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Clifford Baptist Church invites you to join us for worship every Sunday morning at 11 a.m. For more information about our church, please call our church office at 434-946-0555.